Andrew is the Aussie bloke living in the US. Heather is the American gal living in Australia. Together, they travel the world sharing strategies on how to put your business on autopilot. Doing business online is no longer about having a website. To get more clients and take care of the ones you have, you will need a map. They've got it. So sit back and relax and welcome aboard. This flight is bound to autopilot your business.
Hey, this is Andrew McCauley. Welcome to another episode of Autopilot Your Business. And this is going to be one of my favorite ever podcasts. And to tell you a little bit more about where we are and what we're doing and what this podcast is all about, I'd like to welcome Heather.
Hello, Andrew. Hello, everybody. Thanks once again for joining us. Okay, so here, let me just paint a little picture. Andrew and I are sitting under a sign that says Paradise Island.
Paradise Island.
And on that sign, we're actually on an island in the Philippines right now, and the sun's getting ready to set, and we're staring out at these beautiful clouds, beautiful crystal clear water. We've just had a swim. We're sipping on some beers and taking it all in. And we're here, we're literally together. We're not across the world right now bringing this to you. So we're sitting side by side on our laptop. We have waves breaking in the background, and we're about to talk about, what are we talking about?
We are talking about outsourcing.
I wonder why. Well, we are in the Philippines because...
Well, we've got a team that are based in the Philippines, and we've just spent the last 4 days with our team in the Philippines. And I've got to tell you, from a business perspective, it's been one of the best experiences that I have been through, particularly as far as team building and creating a relationship with the people that work for you. Because, you know, like anything, if you build great relationships, you'll have a great team. And this podcast is all about outsourcing, and some of the stuff that we've learned over the last 4 days about what our outsourcers can do, what they can achieve, is just mind-blowing.
It is, and actually, Andrew was filming some really great little videos where he's interviewing our team to find out a little bit more about them, what they specialize in, some of their top tips as well for getting the most out of outsourcing. So I thought we'd just open with that. Perhaps I jump right in and sort of extract some of those jewels of information that you got from talking to the team, yeah?
Yeah, sure. And I think one of the key things that you mentioned there is the word team. You know, the guys that we're using and we have been using for the last number of years have been developed as a team by a couple of people, and it really, really shows how this teamwork can be super effective in business. Now, teamwork is great in any sort of business, but when you've got a teamwork or a team based over here doing work for you, it just really opens your mind, doesn't it?
It does, and it opens our mind to actually why outsourcing is a lot harder, I think, than a lot of people think, because you have to get to know your team. You have to train your team. It's not just a given that they're going to know exactly what to do, nor be able to actually guide you in what you need. So I guess, you know, that's what this episode is all about, is understanding the big picture of outsourcing, how to use it in your business, and to think from the side and the perspective of the team, of the people that you'll actually be working with in other countries.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I guess one of the biggest things about outsourcing, and we'll just jump straight into it, but one of the biggest things that I've found with outsourcing is that many people get confused between the difference between outsourcing and task sourcing. Now, I like to say that task sourcing is something that you'll only get somebody to do once. You know, we've got some awesome sites out there. Fiverr, we've talked about Fiverr.com. Mm-hmm. Elance is a great site. Rent-A-Coder.
You know, Odesk.
Some of those sites are awesome if you're looking for somebody to do a one-off job. And that's what I call task sourcing. And task sourcing is essentially getting someone to do one particular job. It's going to take you a little bit of time to train them up so that they know exactly what they need, what you want them to do. And then pretty much the job's done and you'll never need them or see them again. With outsourcing to me is more a repetitive type of job where if you're doing something more than twice in your daily job life, your business life, or whatever it is, then that is time to get that outsourced. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're doing it more on a regular basis, then train somebody up so that they can do that for you, because you really want to start freeing up your time and your money, but freeing up your time for sure.
And that's a very, very good point. If I cannot remember who this was that said this, but they were saying basically, if you're not in control of your time and your business, it is in control of you. So... Yeah. what that means essentially to me is figure out what you love to do. I mean, really give it some thought. Write down a list of everything that you don't like, that you're not passionate, and then look at ways of building a team up around you to actually do those items. And so let's get stuck in. I mean, let's talk about how do you actually find a team? How do you work with them, and what do you need to know to get the most out of them? So, Andrew, let's talk about a team. So
Okay. With
all these task sourcing websites, what if somebody wants to actually build a team? They want to actually get that outsourcing team together to do ongoing tasks. Where can they look to do that?
Well, I think it's like anything really. Hey, you look for a task that needs to be done. You turn that into a repetitive task, so it becomes an outsourced task. And if you can have somebody who you've trained once, they're doing it on a regular basis, then you can start having that person as a team member. Don't go and expect that you're going to have 30 members in your team at the end of the week. You know, it's going to take time. If you're going to hire some people for your normal business, you would go through certain processes. You'd go through a resume check. You'd go through a background check. You might go and do some other sorts of checks to make sure that person is exactly who they say and can do the tasks that they say they can do. It's the same with outsourcing. Just because it's online doesn't mean these people, unfortunately, won't lie sometimes.
Yeah.
So you really need to do your own checks. You need to do some investigation, check their work, their portfolios, to make sure that they can do the work that you want them to do.
They're still your team. I think the only difference is that they're not in an office with you, and that you're saving some cash flow with going to other countries where the cost of labor is cheaper. So those are really the main two benefits, aren't they?
Totally.
Yeah. So how do you find people? Do you go online to hire?
We didn't start this. We didn't start the team we've got. It didn't just sort of happen overnight. You know, we had to go through, like anybody, a series of different people that were working well for us and didn't work well for us, unfortunately. Mm. And you want to sort of get that philosophy of slow to hire, quick to fire.
Quick to fire, exactly.
Slow to hire, quick to fire. Because here's the problem with a lot of this stuff is you're going to spend a lot of time training them up in the first place. Mm-hmm. And if the problem with having, you know, a one-off person is that if that person calls in sick, then you've got no backup. You know, mm-hmm. that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
I guess what we like with what we're offering through Autopilot Your Business is that we have a team that's trained already for us. And if you're using us, you know, as your content creator or whatever it is that we're doing for you, the thing that happens is if somebody calls in sick, you'll never know. Your work won't stop because there are other members in the team that can now just pick that up and run with it. So there's no real lag time.
Yeah, you are buying the pre-packaged strategy pre-trained team when you do it that way, for sure. So I guess with outsourcing, I mean, you're right, there are two ways. You're finding a company that's already has the team that's trained and can literally plug you into that team, and then it's a lot less pain for you because then you don't have to go online, do the resume checking and do all the trial and error that I suppose we've been working on over the last couple of years. So yeah, you can go to companies like us or other companies that have a preset online internet marketing packages.
Yeah.
Or you can find your own people by going to job websites.
And that's a great way to start too. If you're finding your own staff, then a couple of tips about that is give them some small tasks. I like to give potential new outsourcing team members, I like to give them small tasks. And here's what I do. I don't actually give them the final loop. I don't tell them exactly everything I want them to do. I learned this very early in the piece, is that I want to see if people can think for themselves. Because if you've got somebody who works on your team and they can think for themselves without having you to look over their shoulder and hold their hand every single minute, then you're going to get some major benefits from doing that. So I basically give them a job description with some bits missing, if you like, on purpose.
Yes.
And I want to see if they can fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
And when they fill in the gaps and they come back with a completed piece, then I know I've got a keeper.
And culturally, let's remember, in some countries where you outsource, the people there want to please you, and they're going to say yes, that they can do everything, even though perhaps they can't. So this idea, Andrew, that you have of kind of giving them something and having them fill in the gaps is perhaps their first job or first interview process is really good, because then you actually know if they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I've got a couple of people that have now been working for us for 3 years, And we use them regularly because they were the ones that could fill in the gap and complete the process that I needed so that I knew that they were good people to keep.
So where can we find, so say I'm going online and I'm a business owner and I want to go find some people to perhaps interview and start this process because I'm not interested in having a full service agency or you know, company. Where do I go? What are some of the websites?
Elance.com is probably one of the most famous ones.
Good. Yeah.
And if you've never outsourced before, let me just give you a quick rundown of how most of these work because there's a lot of questions out there about, you know, what if I get ripped off?
Yeah, that's for sure.
What if this person takes my money? What if I never see the work again? So I'll give you a quick rundown of how Elance and these other sites work. You go onto Elance, you'll post a job, you create a profile first, you post a job, and let's say for argument's sake that the job may be to create a logo. So you post your job, you can pick certain people. So you can do a search of all of the database of the workers online. Mm-hmm. And you might find some great people that look like they could be potential workers for you. Mm-hmm. And you may post to them privately. And you might say, I want you to quote me on this job. Now, that may work. Sometimes you may find that they don't even answer back.
Yep.
They may have signed up on Elance a long time ago and they haven't checked their
Or maybe
their
they're
account.
Too busy. There could be a lot
they
of
could
factors,
be too busy.
Yeah.
I like to open my jobs up as public and just see what comes in because there'll be people that I've never even looked at previously that will quote me on the job. Mm-hmm. Now, when you open up a job, you'll have roughly around 2 weeks to close that job and award somebody that job. Be prepared to be shocked at the different price ranges from what comes back for the same job. You'll have people coming back saying, we'll do it for $50. You'll come back with people coming back saying, I'll do it for $5,000 and
yeah.
anything in between.
Yeah.
And nothing else is different except their perspective on it all. So get prepared.
And something I've learned too by doing that is when you post a job, I oftentimes, when you post a job, somebody can come back to you online and they actually come back with a response. Generally, that response includes their CV or their resume, links to samples of their work. I love the people that actually, like in corporate world, where they put a personalized note at the top that talks and addresses your job at hand that you've posted. I find that people that just do a templated copy and paste job that responds to your job that you've posted oftentimes are not as serious or as engaged with you as a worker. So those that take the extra moment to actually address you personally, I always oftentimes start with those. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. It's like anything. Building relationships will win out in the end of the day.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
The other thing that I want to mention, actually, just taking a step back, is the actual job proposal in the first place. Mm. One of the best things you can do for yourself is to get extremely specific about what it is that you want achieved. If you are too general, then people will not know exactly what you want. So come back with a very specific job request. Now, to go and find where you can get that sort of thing, go and look at some of these people, potential workers, look at their portfolios. And in Elance, for instance, you can actually see what somebody else posted on that person's profile in order for them to do a job.
Exactly. Now, with the example of doing a logo, if you're posting and you want a logo, it is handy to go into their profile and actually use some of their own samples that they've posted as part of their portfolio and you know, say, look, I really like these logos that you do, but maybe not so much these logos. Can we use more of this style? Another tip is to actually get color samples. Again, this can be used for anything, so it's websites, whatever you're doing, but if it were on the logo, you can go into Google and you can type in the color pink. Just type in pink, then go to Google Images, and when you're in the images, you will see a whole bunch of samples of pink. All you need to do is just send the URL of that image to them. That's the biggest thing, Andrew, with colors and shapes and things. You think you're describing something, but if you don't have a visual, especially with outsourcing, people can get really lost. So use samples of their own work. Use images of pink and lots of examples when you're doing your brief online so they can get a clear idea. One other quick thing, too, which is fantastic, is a tool called Jing, J-I-N-G. I've used this before with our team as well in finding new team. You can do for free a Jing account where you actually just record yourself on your computer. It's like recording your screen and your voice. And you can actually do a quick 5-minute video up for 5 minutes that's free. walking them through the brief and what you want to see. And then you just upload that video to Jing servers, and then you can provide a link to the video in the brief. So think about how amazing that is if you have links to colors, to samples of this person's work, a video explaining. Suddenly, there's not a lot of confusion or you know, read between the lines sort of things that's going on.
Yeah, Jing's a great program. Mm. If you've got Camtasia, you can use that. If you've got ScreenFlow, you can do the similar sort of thing.
Yeah.
You may hear these birds in the background, actually. we're right near an aviary on this island, so if the birds are bugging you, we're sorry. It's
and
probably
the boats.
The boats, the birds, and the waves.
Yeah.
So just moving on with the outsourcing stuff. So get specific in your proposal or your request, and offer as much information as you can for the worker, so that they know exactly what's inside your head. So the next step in doing that is you need to decide who's going to win the job. And by winning the job is, who are you going to award the job to so that they can do it? That's not such a hard process. Most of the others would sometimes like feedback on why you chose somebody over them. It could be a price issue, it could be quality, it could be anything. Completely up to your choice. In fact, you can even close the entire job without awarding anybody the job. Mm-hmm. So it's always a good way to see what the going rate is for some
certain
things.
It is, and like anything
well.
Else, you brought up a good point. Like, if you have a company, like a normal corporate company or a company where you have employees, it's always a wise idea when you're interviewing people that you send them that letter, you know, that letter that says, I'm sorry, you're not the right candidate for the job. It's the same as online, you know, common courtesy. Just let them know if you've been engaging with them personally in ongoing online communications. Let them know. Just let them know that you're sorry, you know, I've gone with somebody else. Maybe this is why. It's a nice thing, because I found as well, you get an online reputation for somebody that actually seeks out employees, and you can get ratings on some of these sites too, on Elance. You can be rated as somebody that's an employer. So just, you know, just keep your reputation clean and respect people as you go through the process.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so let's say that you've awarded the job. You've got somebody there that's ready to do the work. How does payment work and all that sort of stuff? Well, here's how it works. Elance has set up a very good way of doing this. They have what they call an escrow account. Mm. And if you agree to the terms of that provider, let's say the job is $50.
Mm, yeah.
What you'll do is you'll pay $50 into an escrow account, which is like a holding account for Elance. The worker knows that you've put $50 into this escrow account. You can't get access to that money anymore. The worker can't get access to that money. And they'll only get access to that money once you've said that the job is complete and satisfactory to your liking. So it's a really safe way to put money out into the world, saying to the provider, because let's face it, in the past there's been some unscrupulous people requesting work, and the provider provides the work, and then this person just disappears without paying.
It protects both sides of the equation.
Yeah, it's a great way to do it. So you put your $50 in the escrow account. You know that you've put your money in there. You know it's safe, because if you don't release it, the person can't get the money back.
Yeah.
So he does the work or she does the work. They supply it to you. If you're happy, you release the funds. They get the cash. You get the job completed, and everyone goes on their merry way. One thing that is really cool about Elance is that if you don't like the work, most of the time, and I've never ever had problems with this, the workers will go and correct it until you're happy. Yes. They don't want an online reputation that is negative or bad.
Yes.
You know, so you can easily mark feedback for them as poor response, terrible workmanship, and that sort of thing. They do not want that, because that is their livelihood. This is how a lot of these people survive on the online world. Is through work like this.
So say, you know, you found somebody, you've hired them, they're working on the logo, you're happy, you've given them a good review. Then say you like them and you want them to be on your team more permanently and doing other things for you. What's the next step for them to move into your team more permanently?
Well, I would give them a couple of jobs, because they could have got one job right and they could have been lucky. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that they're good and competent. And do you have enough work to give them more on a regular basis? Because, you know, it's one thing to have a cool person working for you, but if you haven't got enough work, they'll soon quickly disappear from you and you won't find them again.
That's a good point, actually. I think with all the hype of outsource this and outsource that, the beauty of outsourcing is it's scalable. It's scalable for you and what you're doing. So don't feel pressured like you have to go out and get a full-time virtual assistant or somebody on your team. You don't. You don't at all. Just as Andrew has said, you can hire them for job by job, over time. So that's what you should start with. You trial them, and as your business grows, then you can actually go in and get them going for you full time. By the way, you guys, the sun is starting to go down, and we're looking out at a beautiful reflection right in front of us. It's unbelievable. Andrew, we're going to have to provide... Actually, let's take a photo of our view right now.
Okay, here it is.
Okay,
ready?
Here we go.
It's done.
Good. We're going to share this on our website, autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast. And are we on episode 7?
I think we're on. Yes.
Outsourcing is the outsourcing introduction episode. So just go find it. You can see exactly the view that we're looking at right now as we're saying this.
Here's the cool thing about it. You know what? I'm going to sidetrack here. Podcasting, you know, if you're ever thinking about podcasting, it's one of those things that you don't need a lot of preparation. We were sitting down. We just come out from a swim, and there's a few of us over at the restaurant there, and we thought, you know, it's a great time to do an outsourcing podcast. So I grabbed my computer. Here I am. I haven't got any special technical details, so the audio may not be the best that we can possibly give you, but we're sitting on a beach, literally sitting on a beach. You'll see the photos. We're in our singlets, our board shorts, you know, and we're doing a podcast because we can. This is the awesome thing about doing a podcast is you can really quickly whip one up and get some amazing results from podcasting.
I think the underlying theme there is just take action. Just take action. Just do it. Just do it. Do it. You know, it's if it's in your mind, just do it. And so if you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know what, this is really cool. I'm actually intrigued about this outsourcing thing. Find something, like we just talked at the beginning, that you do not like doing in your company. It could be updating your blog, your website, developing a logo, developing a print piece that you want to send out to your database, doing an email to your database, setting up a database system. I mean, it's literally endless. Just find the one thing that you don't like to do. Go on to Elance.com, Odesk.com, one of those websites we prefer. We like both. And post a job. Just do it, just to see how it is. And remember,
Freedom Outsourcing is another good one.
FreedomOutsourcing.com is fantastic. That also has packages that are pre-done for you, so you don't even have to give it any thought on how do you train and brief your team. So
I got a question for you then. Let's tie in what we just spoke about, podcasting and outsourcing.
Yeah.
So we love doing this recording.
Yes.
It's cool. It's all fun. But the other stuff, the bits and pieces that go together to make this recording possible, you know, the intros, the outros, the SEO, the postings, the transcriptions, all of that sort of stuff, we do a lot of that is done through outsourcing, right?
That's right.
So how about we give the listeners a bit of a breakdown of what happens? What happens as far as outsources go with this podcast that they're listening to right now? Touched this as well?
This is brilliant. Okay, so... as soon as we wrap this, we're using something called Audacity. It's a free tool that we've mentioned before. So we basically hit stop on the recording. We then take this audio, this raw audio, and we send it to somebody that then puts on, there are fun little intro bits where we have the girl saying, you know, Andrew's the Australian bloke living in America. So we actually have that little piece.
Hang on, where do we get her from?
Fiverr. Right. She's a voiceover artist that we hired. She did the voice.
And what about the music or the...
royalty-free music,
The sound bit, yep.
Yes.
So somebody else on Fiverr tied that together.
Tied it together and edited it, made it look beautiful for us, made it sound beautiful.
Sound beautiful, yes.
We then get one of our team to edit that piece on the front and the back of each of our podcast episodes. We then take that, we put it into a tool called Dropbox... which, again, another free tool. It's a file sharing tool where you give access to anybody you want around the world to access that file. So we put it into our Dropbox folder. Our team then goes and they have access to that. A couple things then begin to happen. One of our team members, they get it. They put it on our website, autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast. So they upload it there. Our website set up originally from someone else on our team to automatically put that into iTunes, which is probably how you've discovered this or found this or one of the ways you discovered it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in iTunes. Now, the same team member who's doing that puts our show notes, which is essentially a blog post in our website.
Where do the show notes come from?
Show notes are either generally
the transcription. There's a summary of this, right?
It's a summary of this.
Uh-huh.
So that brings us to the next point.
Uh-huh.
So we get this audio, somebody else on our team in Dropbox picks it up and transcribes it.
Uh-huh.
They summarize the whole transcription into a summary that is also used on our website and then is sucked into iTunes automatically. Then from there, and this gets really exciting, we actually can reuse this transcription and the audio in a whole lot of other ways, which, Andrew, let's go into this really exciting new little system we've developed, which is all about syndicating and how do you repurpose and spread your knowledge all over the internet. We're calling it the Oprah Get Famous.
I think we'll leave the Oprah Get Famous to another episode.
No, that's too long.
But just understand that there is a lot of work that goes on, mm-hmm. but here's the thing. How much work are Heather and I doing right now? Well, let me tell you this. If you think that working at a beach, just having a chat about outsourcing, having a few cocktails and drinking some beers, we haven't had many of those yet, I can promise you, but we may have some later. Watching the sunset, you know, we've got a bunch of friends over there waiting for us at the restaurant thinking, what the hell are these guys doing?
Yeah.
And we call it work and they're like, that's not work, that's whatever it is. You know, this is all we do. Once the recording's done here, we've got an internet signal over there. We'll upload it to Dropbox. We'll let the team, which is a whole bunch of those people that Heather just spoke about, yep. know that we've just recorded a new podcast. We'll go back to the bar. We'll have some fun. We'll have dinner and that sort of stuff. These guys are onto it already. They're working for us because the system has been put in place.
I even left something out, actually. This is exciting because I know a lot of people are interested in this. We also have somebody on the team that then emails everybody who signed up for our updates. They go in and they use our email system and email. So we don't even have to email people that we've released. It's all done for us. It literally is.
And that's outsourcing. That's outsourcing for just this program. That's what we do as far as getting the team set up. Now, you won't be able to get a team set up like that maybe today, but you can start doing that today. Yep. And it won't take you too long to start getting up. As long as you're clear about exactly what sort of things need to happen, you'll be amazed at what sort of results you get.
Exactly. And on that, I mean, I just want to kind of turn the perspective back to the team that's doing the work
mm-hmm.
and some of the things that you've learned from our team while we've been here.
Yeah,
What are some of the tips that they told you that the listeners might be interested in as far as, you know, how to get the most out of your team and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, look, I had some great connections with these guys. And the common thing was that they're all people. They're people that like certain things, you know, and they love building relationships. They love meeting their clients, and if they can't do that, they love at least connecting with them so they find out who they are.
Yeah.
But one of the coolest things about all of them was that they love being part of a team as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only are they on your team, but they have their own little team where they can feed off each other.
Yes.
And that's one of the cool things about the guys that we use in our team is that they are really, really happy getting along together. You know, you go in the room and they're all dancing, there's music playing, and they have a ball doing what it is that they're doing. But a bigger picture than that I like with our team is that, you know, we're supplying a lot of work for a lot of people, and the money that we're paying these people are using to fulfill their families.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really one of the best things ever is that, you know, we hear a lot of negative things about outsourcing, particularly in the US, where companies are outsourcing a lot of their work to other countries, and people in the US or whatever Western country it is saying, well, what about the workers in our country?
Yeah.
If you can get work, if you can find work from people that are doing it cheaper and the quality is just as good, then and let's say it's 50 cents on the dollar. Let's say you're getting it for half price. Yeah. Don't just do half price. Spend the same money and get twice as much results. Go out and spend twice as much on an outsourcing company or the same amount as you would if you're in the US or Australia or UK, and get twice as much done. Because if you're getting twice as much done, you will absolutely rocket your results through the roof.
Exactly. And you know what? We do have people that are in Canada and Australia and America that are on our team as well. So I think it just comes down to quality and results.
Yep.
And who the person is. Get to know the person. Get to know where their skill sets lie and their talents. And It's not just about the craze and the amazing, you know, trend of outsourcing right now. It's about building your team.
Yeah.
They can be anywhere in the world.
That's a good point. We don't just have Filipinos on our team. We have Indians. We have Pakistanis. Yeah. We have some people.
Malaysia.
We have some people in some of the Baltic countries like Belarus and Russia.
Yeah.
Who do some cool things with us.
Yeah.
We've got Australia. We've got UK. We've got the US and Canada as well. Yeah. You know, they're all we find the right people to do the right jobs. You know, because not one sort of person can do everything. And that's another big thing that actually came out of interviewing the outsourcers is that they're humans. They're humans like everybody else. they don't know how to do every single thing on the internet. The internet is such a big, complex machine that when people go to get an outsourced job in the first place, they think, well, if I could find somebody for $3 an hour who can do graphics, who can write articles, who can do SEO, they can build websites and write CSS-style coding,
yes,
then I'll be right. The truth is that you'll never find anyone in the world like that. It's very rare. And if you do, it's going to cost you $1,000 an hour.
Exactly.
It's a rare person.
It's like anything else. When you go out and go, you know, in the past, I'm sure all of you or most of you have gone out for a job interview, and then you sort of pad your resume or your CV, and you're like, oh, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. Think of these guys when you're looking for them online. They're doing the exact same thing. So the most powerful question you can ask them is, what out of all these things that you say you're good at, what is the one thing that you're most passionate about and you love the most? And if you can open an interview or a relationship with them in that way, you'll get to know exactly what they do. And case in point, one of our workers, he absolutely is obsessed with SEO. Now, we've had him do other things, which we would get frustrated with because he said he could do them, but both of us would get frustrated because the results weren't that great.
Yeah.
So we said to him just yesterday, you know, what? Tell us what else you love to do. And he goes, is there anything other than SEO?
Yeah, totally.
So that case in point, there are people just like us, find their passion, fuel their passion, and give them work in that area. And that's where the magic happens, and that's where your team begins to grow.
Yeah, totally. So, and that's been a real revelation for a lot of us. We interviewed a lot of the guys, and we said, hey, what do you like doing? Guys and girls. In fact, I think there's more girls on our team than guys.
There are, yeah.
And, you know, what do you like to do? What is it really that drives you? And
yeah,
the great thing about it was they were able to tell us, so that now we know what they like, we can give them more of what they like and give something else to the people that want to do that other thing that they don't like.
Exactly. And build our team from there. So is there anything else upon closing? Is the beautiful sunset over the water and the noisy boats pass us by, Andrew, that you would like to share with our listeners right now?
No, look, I think the first thing is go out and get some outsourcing done. Go and experiment with it. That's what I did. My very first thing, I think, from memory, my very first outsourcing job was I got somebody to create some social media accounts, you know, and I just wanted to see what it was like. Get your toes wet. It's not that scary. It's not that hard.
Not at all.
You have a bad experience, don't blame the entire experience. Just say, you know what, that experience didn't work too well. Maybe I need to try something different. And from there, it was amazing to see what I was able to achieve. Get out and experience it. Give it a go. Just go and get something. Have a look at your life, your business life. What are you doing on a repetitive basis that you can actually outsource or get somebody else to do more than once, if that makes sense.
And just do it. Just go to these sites, you know, elanceodesk.com, Fiverr. You can get, you know, minimal work done from there too. Well, these are all going to be in our resources area of our website as well.
Yeah, totally. So go out and get something done. Get something. What is it that you could possibly let go of so that will free you up from doing it? I know many people have a perfectionist attitude.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, but I'm the only one who can do this. I'm the only person who can do this. Somewhere along the way, if you keep that attitude, you're going to drive yourself into the ground and your business will go nowhere. You've got to let it go and say, somebody else can do it. I need to let this go.
The most powerful leaders and entrepreneurs in the world are visionaries and leaders. They're not workers. So step away from that mindset, get cracking, and you'll just open up, you know, your satisfaction and happiness in your life.
Totally. Heather, this is one of my favorite podcasts. Sitting here, I can hear a band kicking on. I can see the sun just setting behind the mountains over there across the water.
Yes.
Watching these boats come in. It's still hot enough for a swim in the Philippines. If you can get a chance to come to the Philippines. Which island are we on? Samul,
which is just outside of
Davao
City,
yep,
in the Philippines. It's amazing.
So thank you again. Make sure you go and check us out. Our web address again is
autopilotyourbusiness.com/podcast. And come please check out the sunset view that Andrew snapped while we were talking about.
I've got a few photos there. Check us out on Facebook. Please tell your friends. Show us some love. We're pretty happy with the way things are going with our podcast on iTunes. So if you've got someone else that'd be interested in internet marketing, any aspects, then by all means, send them our way.
And if you ever have any questions about who we are and what we're all about, just go right to episode 1 and that will explain it all.
Yeah, cool. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. I hope you got some cool stuff out of podcasting. Heather, final words.
The only thing, again, is don't waste your life doing things that you don't like to do and that you should not be doing.
Totally. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, guys.
And at this stage, I have no idea what our next podcast is. Just get excited, enjoy it, because it's going to be cool.
It will.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
All passengers and cabin crew should now be seated with their seatbelt securely fastened.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first officer speaking.
On behalf of your captains, Andrew McCauley and Heather Porter, we would like to thank you for taking the journey with us to autopilot your business. You are now closer to putting your own business on autopilot using the internet. Of course, if you would like to rack up some frequent flyer points, visit our website, www.autopilotyourbusiness.com, or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/autopilotyourbusiness. These frequent flyer points are totally useless, but the information is gold. Until we fly again, happy travels!